Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Today is March 29th, 2013, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk. Well, we'll be talking about many different things this afternoon, so I'm glad you took the time to join us this afternoon. And markets... All right, Al, that's enough.
We'll be talking about many different things this afternoon because... The computer ate my homework.
Yes. That happens.
Yeah, once in a while.
No, it wasn't the computer. My dog.
Uh-huh.
Curly.
The dog. Something ate the homework. That's
Curly
all.
Ate my homework. So, but I'll cheat off of Al's homework. But we have things to talk about this afternoon. We're going to talk about why Texas wants its gold back.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're not. No, we're not. You're looking at an outdated script. Uh-huh. See?
No, I'm not.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're not looking at today's script.
All right, enough.
New approved.
Just enough. We're going to be talking about Texas.
All right.
Whether you like it or not. We got lots of listeners in Texas. In fact, this program is broadcast out of Dallas, so... we got lots of listeners there, and we want to thank each and every one of you, no matter where you listen, on the shortwave in Dallas and the Northwest, everywhere, Southwest, East, India.
Well, we actually get responses once in a while from
China,
New Zealand, from
yep.
Australia,
yep.
Japan,
yep.
Europe.
Yep. So I want to thank all of you. Welcome. And... Markets were closed today due to Good Friday today. And so if you have any questions and you would like to send it to us by email, you can do that. questions@dgscoins.com. That's also our website, dgscoins.com. And you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. We combine forces with Wendy Wilson and some other writers, and they write specifically for the newsletter. And you can sign up for that. It's no cost to you. And we'll do specials, and I need to start getting involved in writing things about coins and the truth about the markets instead of so much disinformation that's being provided. In fact, I was told today there was some people out there saying that they weren't going to sell any silver because the prices were so crazy. They couldn't get a real read on silver prices as of last night, so they weren't going to sell it. They didn't want to lock in and so forth. And folks, that's just hogwash. I never heard of such a thing. All you have to do is, you know, if for some reason numbers are down from spot prices, all I have to do is call my buyer. It's no big deal. And on weekends, if I want to lock somebody in and the markets aren't trading, I'll either use Friday's closes so I don't know what the big deal is. So to me, that's someone I wouldn't feel very comfortable with dealing with. And I was also been told that, we can't get any silver, the delayed shipping, 14 weeks and such, because we can't get the silver. Well, that's hogwash, too. So, you know, be careful out there, folks. If you hear this stuff, give me a call, and we can get you all the products. And if there's delays, we'll tell you if there's a delays. But certainly, even when we have delays, I don't go beyond 3 or 4 weeks. There's no need to. So lots of things going on, and now, you know, it's interesting, markets were closed today, and when I watch CNBC in the mornings, I always turn it on. I like to see what the mainstream media is lying about. All week long, they touted this Steve Cohen, you know, he's the multi-billionaire. He picked up $100 million artwork this week, and then he bought some $100 million condo somewhere in New York and blah, 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 blah. They were just bragging about him all week long, and now here his... one of his traders, Michael Steinberg, was arrested today for insider trading. And so the poor guy is probably going to take the fall, and the head of the company will plead, I knew nothing.
Buying $100 million artwork.
Yeah, like, okay, now how do you think you're making that money, buddy? So, but he is being charged with five counts, including securities fraud and conspiracy to commit security fraud for allegedly shorting computer stocks, Dell and Nvidia, based on the inside information, according to the documents that were filed in New York. So he did plead not guilty, and he posted his bail of $3 million. It's kind of high bail. For some inside trading, and considering you have Wall Street that does it, you know, probably 95% or even higher, but folks, you know, are all involved in it. So, but they're going to pay a fine. They've already paid a fine, a $614 million fine.
$614 million?
For inside, yeah, they paid.
That's $614,000. $614 million.
Yes.
Whew.
They paid.
That's pretty good for it.
Well, yeah, but they probably made billions.
Yeah, they probably did, but even so,
this is probably just
that's pretty good fine.
This is chump change.
Yeah, maybe, but still.
But
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they'd been fined $614,000. That's absolutely chump change. $614 million.
It is. In fact, it is the largest settlement in the SEC's history. And I think there was a $92 million that you had that hedge fund manager. Oh, I can't pronounce his name, that Raj. The Raj guy. Raj.
I remember. I remember who you're talking about.
Yeah, that was back in even Milken. Remember Milken? He was the junk bond king. He paid $400 million in 1990. To settle the charges.
Well, that's actually higher than $614 million today.
Based into
when you figured for inflation and the rest of that sort of thing, he actually paid a higher price.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, they'll pull out. But look at Milken now. Here they parade him around that he's an expert on you know, and he, you know, socked away his money probably in some offshore bank or something like that, and spend a few years at Camp Fed, and gets out and
make a productive contribution to society.
How about a comfortable?
After he's been rehabilitated.
Yeah, right.
Our prisons are famous for their rehabilitation, and anyone who goes there comes out a markedly improved individual. So what else are we going to do, Melody?
So we're going to talk about Texas.
Okay, we can talk about Texas, but before we talk about Texas, we have to set the stage a little bit. We've got to talk about Switzerland. And what are we talking about with Switzerland? Swiss to vote on gold repatriation. The Swiss National Bank, which supposedly guarantees price stability in Switzerland, currently holds about 1,040 tons of gold reserves after gradually selling off at least 1,550 tons. And now members of the Swiss People's Party, the far-right Swiss Democrats, and the Lega del Ticinese movement is confident a nationwide vote will be called on stopping the sale of gold reserves held by the Swiss National Bank. Also wants gold bars stored in the U.S. to be returned. As Swiss Info reports, the People's Party leader Lucy Stamm comments, gold reserves guarantee the stability of the Swiss franc. They ensure that the private savings, salaries, pensions keep their value, warning that gold must not be the object of speculation for the Swiss National Bank or for politicians, and demanding that the Swiss National Bank keep a minimum of 20% of its assets in gold, twice the current level. In addition, they want to force the government to disclose where the gold reserves are stored, since it is only in safe hands if it is kept in Switzerland. In other words, Swiss wants their gold back, and we've heard that Germany does. Venezuela has already received their gold back. Who else is talking about recovering their gold besides foreign countries, besides Switzerland, Germany, Venezuela? I think there was, what was the other one?
Well, you mentioned Venezuela.
Yeah, I did.
And
we'll think of it. We'll think of it as soon as the program is done, and then and then we'll talk about it when the program starts up again on Monday. But in any case, number four. But that's the interesting thing that leads up to Texas. Here's one from the Star Telegram in Fort Worth. I believe that's Fort Worth Star Telegram. Karen Lawmaker seeks to create Texas Bullion Depository. Call it the Rick Perry Gold Rush. The governor wants to bring the state's gold reserves back from the New York vault, from a New York vault to Texas. And he may have legislative support to do it. Freshman Republican Giovanni Capriglione, Republican of Southlake, is carrying a bill that would establish the Texas Bullion Depository. Well, the point behind all of this is that people are not merely trying to get their gold. Foreign countries aren't merely trying to get their gold out of the Federal Reserve, New York Federal Reserve vaults. We now have Texas trying to recover its gold that's stored somewhere in New York. They want it back too. Well, it's just interesting to me that it's not only foreign countries that don't trust New York to store their gold. It's also the state of Texas, and before long we'll see other states besides that want their gold. Here's something from Omaha. Nebraskans assert state sovereignty. This is from Omaha.com, one of the news outlets up there that deal with, from the World Herald Bureau, whatever. That is one of the newspaper outlets. Lincoln, at least three Nebraska lawmakers want to send a message to the federal government, but out of our state business. Next year, they will see if a majority of their colleagues agree. The senators are working on resolutions reasserting Nebraska's sovereignty under the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. Nebraska wouldn't try to secede from the Union under their proposals, but would go on record objecting to federal laws that they say go beyond constitutional authority. Well, it goes on. Nebraska is not the only state to attempt to reassert its state sovereignty. There are three or four others that I've heard of, although I can't tell you what the names of them are right off the top of my head. There might be reference to them further on in this article. I don't recall. But point is, the states, it's not only true that our national government has offended some of the countries of the world, it has offended some of the states of the Union to the point where states and foreign countries are trying to say, buzz off, Get out of here. We'll control our own affairs. We don't need Washington to determine, you know, the size of each individual square of toilet paper that that we can purchase at the local grocery store. Find other things to do. Stop meddling in our state business. Other countries in the world are saying the same thing. Stop meddling in everybody's business overseas. You know, this idea of becoming the world's policeman is simply an enormous waste of money. It's a sure mechanism for antagonizing much of the world. We're going to live to regret it. And it's what we see in the news today. Swiss wants their gold. The Swiss want their gold back. The Germans want their gold back. The Texans want their gold back. We're seeing evidence of a kind. We're seeing evidence that the world has had enough. Maybe it's time to stop being the world's policeman and just learn to mind our own business. And Lord knows we have plenty of our own business that we could mind. We've got a debt that's so big it'll never be repaid. We've got Obamacare, which is going to restrict health care for the American people. Have more people dying under Obamacare. You watch. Before we're done, the life expectancy for the average American under Obamacare will shrink, won't increase. And these fools in Washington, you know, to meddle, try to go after the Second Amendment. It is a burgeoning disaster. It hasn't hit yet. Nobody knows when it's going to hit. But this government, if somebody doesn't put this government under control, it's going to destroy this whole country. What do you think, Melody?
I think exactly the same. I mean, we have we are so totally out of control. And there isn't anyone to change it. I mean, we certainly don't have the leaders, the politicians. That's why it's not going to change. That's why there is a day of reckoning coming. Mm-hmm. And that is why fundamentals for the things that we talk about haven't changed. They don't improve. They're not going to improve. And folks are just being downright lied to. It's that simple.
And openly lied to.
Openly.
Yeah, they don't even try to conceal it. That's what galls me. If you're going to lie to me, at least don't smirk and grin when you're lying to me. At least act like you're telling the truth, you know? Show me that much respect. They don't even want to show me enough respect not to grin and laugh and guffaw as they tell us their various lies. It's all just amusing.
But along with them not being so closed about their lives, it gives us an open window to see exactly what they're doing, to know exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it. So, and take advantage of it. Take advantage of it.
Well, we can see what's happening. If you care to look and you have sufficient courage to look, you can see what's going on pretty clearly. I don't mean that anyone sees perfectly. But you can see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't. I don't claim.
I do. I see very clearly.
I don't ever claim to see clearly because that gives me. That's the way I cover myself in case I say something really, really stupid. And I say, "Well, golly, you know, I never claim to have perfect." Never claimed to have perfect vision. Now, Melody, if you're going to claim to have perfect vision of what's going on here. You better not make any mistakes while I'm on the air, because you know.
I won't, Al.
All right. I will remind you.
In fact, I have someone that wrote in. He says, Al, are you in the, have you been in the Easter eggs again?
No.
Coming out of prison as a protective member of society? But I think
I was being a little sarcastic.
Yes,
there.
I thought so.
Yeah, there was a certain amount of facetiousness involved in that comment, but I might be getting into the Easter eggs later on this Sunday. We'll see. I'm not sure. We'll be out there and mug that rabbit and steal all the eggs, keep them for myself, or maybe I'll sell them. Who knows? I'm not sure. We can have an Easter egg sale on Monday, maybe. Melody, what do you think?
Yeah, we could do that.
And we'll see
if I can put gold inside.
Mm-hmm. If I can catch the rabbit, maybe we'll have an Easter egg sale on Monday. I think it's time for our commercial announcements, Melody, so let's take a break. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, Melody, do we have a special for folks again today or not?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Going into Easter, we were the staff was given the day off, and I pretty much worked for the day, and I'm going to be closing. I have family coming in, so I'll be closing shortly after the radio program. We need to do some work and so forth, so if anybody wants to make an order, make sure you call pronto right after the program at here. And if for the late-night listeners, I mean, always leave messages, because there isn't a day I don't check my messages, and if there's something I can do to lock you in, I'd be more than happy to do so. With prices adjusting so drastically, with the big swings that we've been seeing, and particularly silver, I don't like to lock in things on the weekend, because I'm the one that's carrying the price until Monday. So that's why we basically stopped taking orders on the weekends, because of that. There were such big changes there for a while during the crisis, during the 08 and the financial crisis. Well, we're still in a financial crisis, but the one in 09 and 2010, prices were changing so drastically. And with markets closed, we just couldn't carry all those amounts through the weekend. So that's why we actually stopped working on the weekends. But But nope, we're here. If you have any questions, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And visit our website at dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com. And go ahead, Al.
Why don't you explain to people what you mean by lock in? They might not understand what you say when you're saying we're going to lock you in, Russ, that sort of thing. What do you mean by that? Doesn't mean we're going to catch you and keep you in the little shed behind the house. That's not what a lock in means. Right, Melody?
That's correct.
All right. Go
Although
ahead.
There are some days where I would like that.
Yeah, I understand that.
Locking in, the way it works here at Discount Gold and Silver, when you're ready to make a commitment, and but what I mean by a commitment is once the order is taken, there can't be any changes or cancellations, no matter what happens to the spot prices or the prices of your items that you're purchasing. You are locked in. That means by the time you can send a personal check or a bank wire, and until those funds arrive here at Discount Gold and Silver, there will be no changes in your price, whether they go up or whether they go down. That means locking in the price, so there's no change until funds arrive.
Okay.
So during the weekend, during the day, the prices are open, and we can adjust the prices according to the spot market of gold and silver. But once that market closes on Friday, any orders that we took during the weekend, I'm basically carrying it until Monday. So until I can actually get the prices locked in on wholesale. I don't speculate on the markets like a lot of my competitors do. My competitors will speculate on the markets, meaning that there's the guy, lots of these items that you see, oh, no commissions. We don't charge fees, no commissions, wholesale prices. Everybody knows you can't sell stuff at wholesale. The only way that you could literally do that is if you wait until the markets drop. Let's say you have gold at $1,600 today and you sell a coin at below wholesale or at wholesale prices at, I'm just going to make up a number, $1,650. What they do is they won't buy it. They'll wait until the spot prices drops to $1,550 or maybe even $1,560. And that's why delivery takes so long. They're waiting for the prices to drop, or they're waiting for new money to come in, or they're also playing the paper market on their adjustments. That's why they can't get their product out on a timely basis. It's not that they don't have the product. It's not that they can't do what I do, to where we ship promptly, but they're speculating on the market. And it's always bad when they do that, because you can have, it's okay when the markets go down, because they can make big money, huge money. Somebody buys at 17 and it drops like we have down to 16 and you wait 2 months, that's $100 a coin they're making. So, but there's a big risk if it goes the other way. If it goes from 1,700 to 1,800, well, they lost. So now they have to wait for new money to come in, and to, unless, they might have gone long on the papers, and they'll use that profit to pick up the gold. So there's a lot of ways that they can do it. And to me, we buy when our customers buy. Sure, I always keep an inventory. I always have plenty of, I can go out into the market and buy the coins like I did the Mint State 62 $5 Liberties. I'll buy a group of those. We always have Silver Eagles. We always have Gold Eagles, Canadian Maple Leaves. We always have those. But if somebody wants to buy 100 Gold Eagles, I buy when the customers buy. That way prices are locked in. There's no surprises. There's no changes. And you can get immediate delivery.
And there's one other thing it also does. By locking prices in at the time the order is placed, this is before the funds have been received, but when the order is placed, lock in the prices. All right. It creates a disincentive to be dishonest with the customers. If you're locking the prices in right now, today's price, if you want to order a coin, fine. Here's the price today. You can look. You can see what the price of the coins are today. You can find other sources if you want that'll verify, confirm the price of the coins. It's locked in right now. There's no Melody doesn't have any wiggle room on this where she could come back and say, oh, wait, the price went up, the price went down. No, the price is locked in. You and I, or Melody and you, the customer, you agree today what the price is going to be, and that's what the deal is going to be. It's not as if you're going to have to wait 2 months to get your coin, and it's not as if Melody doesn't have to stall 2 months because the deal is set. It's set in a way that it just occurs to me. I hadn't thought of this before, but it occurs to me that it is conducive to honesty. It's conducive to treating customers fairly, and you reach an agreement, that's it. There's no mess around. And Melody knows how much she's going to make. You know how much you're going to pay. Coin gets sent out as soon as your payment clears the bank. Bang! Everybody's happy. It makes for a better way of trading.
You know, it's funny. I can remember, you know, it was a big dealer out in California, you know, on air saying that they could do these great prices. I think it was Gold Eagles. The person, you know, called me and, you know, he says, you know, I went and I fell for their line. And I thought I was getting a really good deal. I sent my money, and I kept calling them to find out if the money was received. It wasn't received. And this is, you know, like a week and a half, 2 weeks. Finally, they say the money was received, but your new price is this.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you told me it was locked in. Well, you know, number one, they had the money. It doesn't take 2 weeks. Sometimes it does, but not...
Contact your bank to find out if it's been received, if you sent check, at least.
And number two, they says, well... And the guy says, well, refund my money. The people says, well, that's going to take a month. So they were in a big hurry to get the money, but then to refund the money, it was going to take them over. It was an extremely long time, a month, month and a half, you know. And, you know, so he ended up... making the adjustment and to get his coins. But it was a hard lesson he had to learn. And sometimes I guess we learn those lessons. But
that's the only time we do learn them. If they're hard lessons, we learn them. If they're not, we tend to forget them. We might learn them briefly, but we need a little bit of pain with some of those lessons in order to make them stick. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way people are.
We got some questions coming in, Al. Let's see. I'm not sure. We might have to address this on Monday. It's in regards to Cyprus. It was an article that was found into Cyprus. What do you make of the letter from the central bank to its member banks as it pertains to property rights of the citizens of Cyprus? That would probably, unless you've already...
I haven't read the letter, so I can't tell you what I make of it one way or another, but I'm sure that's an interesting document. They're talking about the property rights of Cyprus, and I very much want to read this, but it's not in front of me right now, and we won't have time to read it between now and the end of the program.
It's very tiny. It says, I'll just read it, and then we can move on. Following the publication of an article in the Financial Times... dated 10 February 2013, entitled Radical Rescue Proposed for Cyprus, the Central Bank of Cyprus wishes to stress that any action aimed at reducing, depriving, or restricting the property rights of depositors contradicts the provisions of the Constitution of the Republic of Cyprus and of Article 1 of the First Protocol of the European Convention of Human Rights, provisions which protect the right to own property, and which are crucial to the functioning of a free market economy. Hence, any suggestion to the contrary is not only legally unfounded, but it cannot merit serious consideration.
Okay, and what's the date on that letter?
February 11th.
Okay, that's what, 18 days ago?
Yeah.
No, more than that.
More than
February.
That.
You're not talking about March, you're talking about, and what has happened since then? The letter, again, I don't have it right in front of me, but the letter is explaining that because of the law, they can't take money away from the depositors at the banks. And they're saying, therefore, we can't even consider this stuff. That was a month and a half ago. And what has happened? They're taking money away from the people who deposited in the banks. That's what they're happening. That's what they're doing. And the point being, all of this fine law and constitutional provisions mean nothing when there's money on the line. That's the implication. They're saying, yeah, you got a constitution. That's very nice. But we got a bill here, Bubba. Somebody got to pay this bill. And at that point in time, the constitutional restrictions become worthless, apparently. So what do I think about it? It is simply an evidence that we live in a world that is increasingly lawless. Our constitutions become increasingly worthless. And people who have money to collect and are in positions of power, they appear able to ignore those constitutions. Let me explain something about the Constitution. The Constitution is the people's law. That's certainly the way it is here in this country. When we look at the beginning of the Constitution of the United States, it says, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union and so on, do ordain and establish this Constitution. Not we the government, not we the states, we the people. It is the people's law. You have three varieties of law, at least that I can see. And the first one is God's law. God has certain laws he laid down for his creatures, his creations. And we can find those laws in the Bible, or some of you subscribe to a different faith, but you're going to find there is God's law. And then there's the law made by the people, and that's our constitutions, our organic law, where we the people say, okay, we're going to create a government, and it's going to have these limited powers, and that's all we're giving you. It's people's law. God's law is superior to the people's law. The people's law is superior to the government's law. We create the government by means of our state and federal constitutions. We, the people, our law. We say, here's the deal. We're going to let you guys play government, but you can't cross these lines. We got you locked in this state, and the government, of course, is constantly trying to cross the lines, and they're doing so dramatically. They are saying, we don't have to obey the people's law. We're the government. And then they pass government laws, statutes, and codes and so on. And they say, but you people got to obey our law, the government's law. This is evidence of the tension. This is an illustration of the tension that exists between the people of this country and the government of this country. They sit back and say they don't have to obey the people's law, and yet the people's law is superior to the government's law. And government says, we don't have to obey that. But you people, you do have to obey our law, the government's law. We are in a sovereignty crisis of sorts. I won't say it's a crisis yet. It really is a crisis, but it's not perceived as such just yet. But the question is, who's the boss? All of us should obey God's law. And within the context of government, of God's law, then we the people can make our own laws relative to government and so on. And then the government really should only be able to make laws that are consistent with the Constitution, but they refuse to do that. Obama's constantly stretching with executive orders and so on. So in any case, point I just want to make, God's law, people's law, government's law. In that order, God number one, people number two, government number three. Government says to heck with that. Government wants to be, you know, the top.
Number one.
That's right. They want to be number one, and they want you people, you and I, me and Melody, they want us to be number bottom. They want us at the bottom of the pecking order. We see evidence of that same mentality in the question that was submitted about the letter in Cyprus, where they said, well, under the law, you can't do this. They're doing it. They have no respect for the law. They want you to respect their law, but they don't want to respect our law. It's going to result in a confrontation before we're all done. We've got probably about 25 seconds until the next break. Melody, shall I sing?
Sing?
I don't know.
Well, luckily...
I can't dance. There's no point in dancing. I'm on a carpeted floor. They couldn't hear me, and they can't see me. So I'm not going to sing or dance. And, well, I don't know. As late as it is, I guess we'll just take a break for about 3 minutes for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival Discount Silver. Be back in a moment.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And we have been attempting to answer some questions and discuss what it means to be locked in and comment on, this, that, and the other. And what else are we going to do now, Melody?
Next, we're going to tell people how to fix watches.
Fix watches.
Make
That's
watches.
Exactly right.
Make watches.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, do you know next Thursday, the Russian Black Sea Fleet, they're going to be holding its largest military drill in a long time. And it is interesting.
I didn't know that they had a fleet of blacks over there in Russia, Melody.
Russia Black Sea Fleet, that was the comment.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Mine was the wisecrack.
I'm ignoring it.
All right. Well, I understand. We can be more concise when we ignore my wisecracks. We don't go any further with it, and then we get to the point. We got another one going on in U.S. and North Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one that's hot.
That's the hot one.
The hot du jour. Hot button du jour, U.S. and North Korea. U.S. joins South Korea.
What's going on with that guy?
I don't know.
He's just young. Black
genetic, apparently. His dad was nuts, and now apparently he's nuts, too. Or
just young, flexible.
The kimchi. I don't know. It might be the kimchi that does that to you. I'm not sure. Anyway, according to the Washington Times, tensions on the divided Korean peninsula rose even higher Thursday after the U.S. military announced that a nuclear-capable B-2 stealth bombers had taken part in joint exercises with South Korean forces, an unprecedented event following weeks of belligerent rhetoric by North Korea. In an apparent attempt to ease those tensions, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said during a briefing that the B-2 bombers, which dropped dummy, they dropped dummy bombs on a South Korean island, were not intended to provoke North Korea. See, just because we have B-2 bombers that are capable of, we're flying B-2 bombers that are capable of carrying nuclear weapons, that's not intended to provoke anybody. That's just fun. That's all it is. The United States and South Korea have not involved in provocations. We, for years, have been engaged in South Korea with South Korea on joint exercises. The B-2 flight was part of that, said Mr. Hagel. However, he added, the North Koreans seem to be headed in a different direction here. So we will unequivocally defend, and we are unequivocally committed to that alliance with South Korea as well as our other allies in that region, the world. And we will be prepared. We have to be prepared to deal with any eventuality there. What do they mean when they say other allies in that region of the world? Melody, got any idea? Japan. We are committed to South Korea, and we're also committed to our other allies in that region. That would be Japan, which is sometimes threatened by China. And we will be prepared. We have to be prepared to deal with any eventuality there. I think he's talking about China. He doesn't say the word China, but I think that's what he's talking about. I think Hagel is flying the, I think the United States is flying the B-2 bomber in the vicinity of North Korea, not merely as a warning to North Korea, but a reminder to China, don't get too ambitious over here, folks. Hard to say what's really going on in North Korea. Do you think the problems with North Korea are motivated strictly by the new leader of North Korea? Or do you think North Korea is being used by China to create a certain amount of tension over there? What do you think, Melody? Melody?
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Did you turn your mute button on, Melody? Huh?
Yes. Anything's possible. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I don't know the relationships between China and North Korea.
They've been close in the past.
Yeah. So, could be.
Hard to say what's happening here exactly, but the heat is building. The move all comes at a time when some South Koreans are questioning U.S. military capabilities and resolve, given massive budget cuts to the Pentagon budget. There haven't been massive budget cuts. We had a 3% sequester. All right? It's not a big deal. We spend more on the military. The United States cost for military is half of that of the entire world. Take everybody else in the world together, and they don't spend as much on the military as we do. We take a 3% cut. It doesn't mean that the military has been crippled, all right, although that's what's implied from one of these quotes. On Wednesday, North Korea cut a third telephone hotline, the military line, to the south after announcing Tuesday that it was placing its missiles and artillery batteries at full combat readiness. Meaning the units are set to strike the bases of the U.S. imperialist forces of aggression on U.S. mainland and in the Pacific, including Hawaii and Guam. I wonder if these North Koreans don't just have a death wish. Are these people crazy? All right, this is like Vermont deciding to attack the whole United States. This does not make good sense. And they keep screwing around, and the Korean Peninsula is going to be turned into a Korean island because North Korea will be sunk. It will cease to exist. They got to be crazy to be persisting in this talk, threatening the United States. I mean, it's just crazy talk, but I don't know. You know, you wonder. Again, this is interesting times. We live in interesting times. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Rumors of crazy people running governments also. They didn't say that in the Bible, but the way it's working out, I think that should have been included. There will be crazy people and rumors of crazy people running governments in end times. We'll watch and see.
Here's a question in, and with the IMF taking money with the IMF taking money from the people for bank bad gambles, if he takes his 401k and pays the penalty, will silver and gold be traded when our money gets into trouble?
Well, of course, silver and gold are always traded. I mean, this is the universal money. It's been money for several thousand years. It's not going to go away anytime soon. There may be episodes when silver and gold are not traded as money, but how long has it really been? We've been off the gold standard on an international basis only since 1971. Translates into what? Something like, is it 71, 39, 49, 52 years, something like that. We've been off the gold standard for 52 years. Domestically, we've been off since 1933. But the world is moving back toward gold. Russia is accumulating vast quantities of gold. China is accumulating vast quantities of gold. Virtually every nation and central bank are trying to accumulate vast quantities of gold, with the possible exception of the United States. All right, we're not trying to get any more. It remains to be seen if we have as much as we claim to have. There's some doubt about that. But in any case, the world is moving in that direction. They're going that way because the U.S. dollar, they don't think the U.S. dollar is going to last. The fiat dollar will not remain. So, point. If we have serious trouble, will gold and silver be traded as money? Yeah, undoubtedly it will. But it'll be a little bit difficult. It'll be a little bit awkward because you might come to me with a gold coin and say, you offer me a gold coin for a used car. I may sit back and say, no, I'd have to have 1.5 gold coins for my used car. Or maybe I'd ask one gold coin for my used car, and you'd say, no, I couldn't pay more than a half a gold coin. There'll be a lot of, this will be bartering, and there will be debates as to what the value of the coin is, but there'll be no debate that the coin has value. It won't be the same thing at all. It won't be like walking in the door and say, well, I've got $500 bills here to buy that old used car. People just laugh at you. And they're going to say, are you crazy? You think we're going to take that paper? We don't want your paper. You want this car. You want my old used car. You better get some gold or some silver, Bubba. I'm not going to take that paper. It's not worth anything. That's where we may be headed. I'm not saying we are, but there's a good chance that we are.
You know, Al, I hear these stories all the time where there's people out there promoting you're not going to be able to, you know, get rid of your gold and silver. The markets are going to be down and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Folks, the gold and silver market trades when paper markets don't. Yeah. I believe if the system fails, what you're going to have is, yeah, you might have the markets down for a while, but they come back. Commerce does not stop. You know, unless we're totally nuked in every city of this country, commerce is going to continue. It might change. I believe it will change. I believe you could have disruption in the supply train or the supply trucking from coast to coast. Sure, that could be disrupted. And, yeah, you're going to have to deal more locally. That's why I encourage folks, get to know your local farmers. You see the signs out all the time, free eggs, or not free eggs, but we sell eggs. Stop. Get to know your local farmers. They'll be very important in the future. But markets continue to trade. Gold is going to continue to trade. 9/11, what came back on first? It was gold. Paper markets were down. Gold started trading first. Even after 1933, you could still trade coins. You could trade the collectible coins.
Yeah, it's always there.
It's always there.
We've had Federal Reserve notes for roughly one century. We've had gold for 30 centuries. Which one do you think will be still trading a century from now? Paper Federal Reserve notes or gold? Paper Federal Reserve notes have a history that goes back 100 years max. That's it.
And people say, well, how are people going to afford 5,000 gold? Folks, there's still folks out there with money, and they will be looking for a way to keep what little they have left, and they will be turning to gold. They're not going to want bonds. They're not going to want any currencies. Doesn't matter the strength of the currencies. They're going to want to go into something that's the old-time hard asset, and that's gold and silver.
And the reason they'll want it is because they want to buy things too. In the same sense that they might be selling a used car, and they would want let's say, 1 ounce of gold from you for that used car. They want that 1 ounce of gold because they got a few other things to sell if they're reasonably rich. And when they get 10 ounces of gold, they're going to be able to buy themselves a whole Rolls Royce. They've got their eye on a Rolls Royce someplace. They know that the guy selling the Rolls Royce will take gold. Gold will work. The paper, unlikely to work. The gold is always going to work. There'll be some bartering in terms of how much value is affixed, but the gold will work as long as there are people on this earth.
And that's not going to say you're going to be doing that 100%. Normally, I mean, you will always want to sell your coins into back into the market that they're trading, But in times where of an emergency and in times where, you know, you will be doing the trading and the bartering, and, you know, we talk about buying real estate 10 cents on the dime. You might be able to, you know, the rumors are you could buy, I believe in Germany, there was you could buy a block of buildings, you know, for a gold piece, a British sovereign at that time. I can't remember the complete story, but you're going to hear stories like this. That did happen. That will happen. So don't listen to these folks who try to get you into a different type of investment, you know, whether it be the bitcoins. And I mean, that's another story we're going to be continuing to talk about perhaps next week. And we also had another question. We're just about running out of time now about gold valued at 10,000. I know we've been trying to get to that all week and we haven't. He sent me another note today on that question. We'll make sure we get to it on Monday.
All right. So we've got a minute and 15 seconds left, Melody. What do you think?
Let's see if I got any other. That's quite of a lengthy question. So
the question's not that long, but the response. The response. But it is a complex. He's asking if banks revalue their gold to, say, $10,000, what would happen to bond prices, commodity prices, and interest rates? Please explain. Well, we'll give you the explanation. We'll get to this. Not enough time right now, but we'll get to it on Monday. We will endeavor to answer the question. But it's a complex question. And part of the answer right now is it depends. In the context of a free market, we could expect one set of answers. In the context of a manipulated market, we can expect a different set of answers. What is going to happen to bond prices, commodity prices? It depends on who's in control, free market or manipulated market. It makes all the difference in the world, and we'll try to get into that next Monday. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival Programs, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back on Monday. Have a happy Easter. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.